Support for Inside the Recording Studio comes from the heart of Dancin' Deer Studio, a gateway to great music making via a free podcast for your phone, tablet, computer, and ears. Making music that surrounds you.
Using two mics to record the vocal.
That's not actually that unusual. It came out the way I expected.
From Dancin' Deer Studio, this is Inside the Recording Studio, where one song is broken down piece by piece, told week by week. I'm Jody Whitesides. Continuing on with this labor of love, in this episode we will be exploring the various vocal sounds for a song called Touch. In previous episodes, we've taken a look at the drums, bass, guitars, and synth sounds for a song called Touch, all of which have created the foundation to support the main instrument, the vocal. The main reason I wanted to have George Leger working with me on this song is based on previous experience where he produced vocals for me on a song called Hero Unexpected. George does an incredible job of getting a great vocal out of me. People really loved the vocal on that song, and it was a fantastic experience working with him. George and I wanted to take it a step further by working on the complete production of this song. But before we get to that point, talking about the final version, I want to start out with a demo. And in opening up the file, I see the following 8 vocal tracks. In the demo arrangement, I have 3 chorus channels, a verse channel, 3 bridge channels, and an intro channel. Top down, I'm looking at the chorus. I triple tracked it. The first channel is panned slightly left at 30, the next is panned slightly right at 30, and the third is panned dead center. Each of these 3 tracks has a Waves Vocal Writer plugin on them. Each is getting bussed to 2 buses. One bus has the Waves Renaissance Vocal Compressor, the other bus has a Logic Space Designer Reverb, with a short, clear vocals preset from Logic. Blended together, they sound like this.
Oh, never mind, I'm asking way too much.
The next channel is the verse vocal. It has a Logic Channel EQ set with a Phone Filter Notch preset, followed by a Waves Vocal Writer and a UAD UA1176 LN Legacy plugin. There are 3 bus sends. The first is a Waves Renaissance Vocal Compressor, the second is a Logic Stereo Delay, and the third is the same Space Designer from the chorus. The demo verse vocal sounded like this.
You like to press things on my body.
The next 3 channels belong to the original bridge. All 3 are panned center. The first one contains 2 parts in the arrangement and has a Waves Vocal Writer, a Logic Chorus, a UAD UA1176 Legacy plugin, and a Space Designer. It buses to 3 buses. The first is the Waves Renaissance Vocal Compressor. The second bus has a Logic Delay Designer, a High Pass Filter, and a Waves Renaissance De-esser. And the third bus is to the Space Designer from the chorus. The second bridge channel has 2 parts. The strip has a Waves Vocal Writer, a Logic Chorus, and a UAD UA1176 Legacy plugin. It has 2 buses. The first is a Waves Renaissance Vocal Compressor. The second is a Space Designer for the chorus. The channel strip for the third part in the bridge begins with a Waves Vocal Writer, a Logic Stereo Spreader, and a Logic Bit Crusher, plus a UAD UA1176 Legacy and a Logic Tremolo. It has 2 buses. The first is the Waves Renaissance Vocal Compressor. The second is the Space Designer from the chorus. This is what part of the bridge originally sounded like in the demo. There's the initial vocals used in the demo from when I first wrote it. I was getting the idea down in a tangible form to be worked and fleshed out later, my skeleton, so to speak. Again, as you can hear from the bridge part, it was nowhere near where the final bridge part was to be. Getting into the final production started before the bridge was entirely rewritten. I determined that I'd be hiring a rapper to come in and rap the bridge, which meant George and I could start burning through all of the rest of the vocals.
The melodic value of the song. Well, that's kind of interesting, because I mean, the thing that's interesting about this song is the verse is almost non-melodic in a way, because it's almost like a sing rap kind of thing, which is kind of a little bit unusual these days, but interesting, very interesting the way you did it. I really like that. And the chorus, of course, is, yeah, it just works. It's a good pop song type chorus, very hooky. you know, people really love the arrangement and the way the arrangement starts and stops and the way the music and vocals go along with it. Yeah. So it was a very interesting, you know, juxtaposition between one and the other, and then the breakdown too. So, yeah.
So the question is how did you want to approach producing the vocals? Because I also came to you with a different idea that you had never really done before. I don't know how you even took that internally, to tell you the truth, using two mics to record the vocal.
That's not actually that unusual. I mean, it is and it isn't. It depends on who you are, where you work, and what kind of money you have, what kind of time you want to spend to do that kind of stuff. And to even come up with the fact that maybe you might want different things on different parts. Traditionally, people don't record with two microphones at a time. Most of the time, because they don't even think to try two microphones at a time, but that's one particular idea around it. And the other thing, of course, is that each microphone sounds a little different. You might be able to blend them together to create different kind of subtle sounds from one section to the next, which is, I think, part of what we did with all the vocals. The vocals were actually done pretty quickly once we had the basis of the song worked out, the format arranged. You know, once we start doing vocals, so many things happen after that. It's hard to remember exactly what we did as we were going through the process. Yeah, non-traditional microphones, multiple microphones, interesting techniques that most people don't even consider trying to use. And yeah, that's what we did. Right. But in the end, we only really mostly used the C10 or C12, right? That's when all the vocals were actually done and we picked what we were going to finally use. That was the one that actually got We Love You, You Sound Best. I've been very fortunate over the years to work with some really good producers. And one of the people that I've worked with in the last decade has been a producer named Michael Lloyd. Through the process of watching Michael do his process, I learned a few things. And one of the most important things that I discovered from him was criticism and not using criticism when you're working with a vocalist. When I was watching him, I noticed that he only gave positive feedback. He focused on the good stuff that was going on. He ignored the bad stuff entirely. He just focused on the positive. He made sure that they felt comfortable, happy, engaged, involved in what they were doing. So that's how you get the best performance, at least in my opinion. You know, I would watch people work with him and they would work so much harder than I was able to get people working for me, because my basis usually was on criticism. And you really worked. I mean, that was the other thing. We'd done some stuff before and you realize that we worked well together. One of the things I've learned that's very important when you're working with vocalists is to gain their trust and their confidence and their belief in your abilities as soon as you can. Because if you believe in what I'm doing with you, you're going to work way, way harder to give me the result we're looking for. Because you believe in me. You believe that the feedback that I'm giving you is valuable. And you'll listen to it and you'll react to it. So that's one of the things that's very important, the trust between a producer and a vocalist. The more trusting that the person is towards the producer, the easier it is for the producer to help and guide the vocalist down the path to get them to give the best performance that they can possibly give. What I've discovered is with encouragement and work in the studio, the quality goes, you know, goes from being a demo quality performance to being an album quality performance, something that people will listen to and be moved by, develop an emotional investment in the music. That's what I do when working with somebody like you, and that's what happened when we were working together. It came from a great vocal demo, which was interesting and stuff, and I mean, I think we really got that more in the verse. We were trying to play with the emotive quality of what you were saying and make it more interesting. The chorus was pretty simple, though. I just wanted a nice, strong, good pop-type vocal. Choruses tend to be more sing-along things, so it's the chorus is more of a sing-along kind of thing. The verse is more of a, you're listening and paying attention to what the person is saying because it's interesting. So the goal was to get an interesting performance out of you based on the vocal from the demo, which was okay, but it was a demo. You know, we just wanted to push it up a level or two levels or three levels, whatever we could do, which is what we did. You know, for me, I'm recording a session with you. I have to make sure, based on my instinct, that we have enough, that we have everything we need. And if I don't know that, I'll just keep going until I'm completely convinced that I have everything. Because sometimes it could be something as simple as a part of a word that'll make somebody like me go, nope, keep going. And it could just be like literally one word, one phrase, one drip, one dip at the end, or a little, a little vocal mannerism or something like that. You don't quite get it the way you want it. So you just keep going and going and going and going and going. And that's one of the reasons why we get a lot of vocals on all the stuff. You know, you were here. We had lots of time. We might as well make sure we have everything we can. So coverage is also really important when you're working with a vocalist. that you don't know if you're going to have access to as much as you require. You were back in Utah, we were in Los Angeles. So if we were doing vocals, we had to record everything we needed, unless, you know, we were planning on doing a comeback session, and we really didn't want to do that. We want to make sure. So that's why we had such high coverage. We wanted to make sure that we had every single little part that we needed. And we did. I mean, your goal was to make sure that everything was original and unique per track, per verse, per chorus. And we were going to do the very best that we could, bar money. Money wasn't the goal here. It was the quality that we could possibly get. How far could we take these songs? And, you know, we took them pretty darn far from where they were. I mean, if you listen to the demo to Touch versus the final version to Touch, you'll see that a lot of the character, initial character, is still there, actually, because that was the basis of the whole song. We didn't want to lose that. The funky thing about doing guerrilla recording, which is pretty much what we did, because we're in a loft downtown Los Angeles with some treatment on the wall, so the room's not as reflective. A little studio set up there, and we had to put all sorts of baffles around you to get, you know, a vocal without any of the ambience of the room and stuff like that. But guerrilla recording is a technique I love. Again, this whole project was based on, let's go into this together. Let's see what we can achieve together. Let's not worry about money. I'll put in the time. You put in the time. We'll do the best that we can. We didn't really talk about recording with a rapper. You and him, we're looking for an artist to perform on the song. Jakari comes into our studio. Very interesting guy. He works with another person who I've worked with for years, Lee Usher. Jakari works with him, so that's how we found Jakari. It was pretty interesting because when he came in, Jody had written some stuff. The recording process with Jakari was really interesting because the first thing we had to do was we had to go through all the lyrics and we had to make sure that he could do them properly. So that was the first thing.
I tweaked him a little bit. You know, you came back and tweaked him, so I think we got it to where, you know, it fit the concept of the song.
And we went through and we figured out, okay, here's what we're going to do. We decided to do two different versions of the rap as well. So we did one version that was a clean version. The song is very explicit, and Jody wanted to do an explicit version, so we did both the clean and explicit version, wrote lyrics while we were all there, made sure that everything sounded good.
We came in, got the song done very quickly, very smoothly.
The session to do that rap was about 2 hours long, or maybe 2.5. It was long.
So I listened to the song, and then I came over and recorded it and got it done very nicely.
As we were going through the process, we kept finding out things that needed to be worked on a little bit, or words. And so it was very collaborative with him in a way. You know, again, you had 90% of what was done already. The last 10% was the collaboration in the studio between everybody and, you know, make sure that we had something that worked right for both versions. He wasn't particularly comfortable initially rapping until we got him used to the studio and comfortable with us, because initially he wasn't. The job that he did was awesome, way better than the first passes. You and I were like looking at each other going, I'm not sure if this is going to work. But, you know, again, certain production skills can really benefit somebody. The thing from Michael Lloyd, which I will forever be grateful, is keep it positive, keep it supportive.
It came out the way I expected.
Diving into the final version of the arrangement, there are no less than 27 tracks of vocal parts. And here's where I get a bit indulgent and explain each one. From a top-down approach to the arrangement, I'm starting with the four tracks of the Sha-Sha vocals that are in the intro. The first channel strip has three plugins. The first is a Logic Channel EQ, the second is a Waves Renaissance de-esser, and the third is a Logic Gain plugin. The next channel strip has a single plugin on it, a Waves S1 stereo shuffler. The third channel strip has a single Waves Renaissance de-esser. The last of the intro vocal channel strips has a Logic Channel EQ, a Waves Renaissance de-esser, and a Logic Space Designer reverb. All of these are stacked into a single track stack with a single Logic compressor on it. Together, these four vocal elements combine to give us this. Next up are four tracks that make the various vocal effects that happen in the verse. The first channel strip, we called it Televox. It has a Waves Doubler 4 plugin, a Logic Channel EQ, and a FabFilter Pro DS. The next channel is called a SpaceyVox, and it has a Logic Space Designer, a Logic Channel EQ, and a FabFilter Pro C. The third channel strip is called the DarkVox. It has a Logic Channel EQ, a Logic Vocal Transformer, and a Logic Tape Delay. The final channel strip in this group is called Tape Stop Vox, and has a Logic Channel EQ and a Logic Chorus. They all combine into a single track stack with no plugins. Together, these four vocal elements combine to give us this.
Body. Fair.
Due to me.
Down. Air.
The next two channel strips comprise the verse vocals. It's two tracks grouped and combined in phase lock. We recorded the lead vocal with a combination of a Telefunken C12 and a GrooveTube's MD1A. The input chain for the C12 was a C12 into an Avalon 737 SP mic pre, and then into the audio interface. The next one, the MD1A, was run into a GrooveTube's Vipre, and then into the audio interface. The first channel strip that has the C12 has a single plugin of a Logic tape delay. The second channel strip is for the MD1A, and it has no plugins. They both bust to the same track stack that starts with a Waves Kramer Pi plugin, a Logic Channel EQ, a Logic Compressor, and a Logic Chorus. This is what it all comes together to sound like.
You like to press things on my body. You don't think, and it's not fair. It's what you do to me, when you're kissing down there.
The next four channel strips make up the main chorus vocal layers. The first is low lead 1. It has no plugins. The next channel strip is low lead 2. It also has no plugins. The next one after that is high lead 1. It has a single Logic compressor. The fourth channel strip is high lead 2 and also has a Logic compressor. The four tracks are also part of the track stack previously described for the verse. These channels combine to sound like this.
Oh, never mind, I'm asking way too much. I got a sinking feeling, I need your touch. What's on your mind, I really can't come up. Need something nice to say, I want your touch.
The next 12 tracks of vocals are chorus background vocals. There's four groups of three for each harmony in the entire grouping. There are no plugins of any kind on any of the channel strips in here. They all group to a single track stack that contains the following plugins. A FabFilter Pro C, followed by a FabFilter Pro DS. After that is a FabFilter Pro G, followed by a FabFilter Pro Q. Beyond that, it has a Logic Ensemble plugin and a Logic Channel EQ. These 12 tracks combine together to sound like this in the mix.
Oh, never mind, I'm asking way too much. What's on your mind, I really can't come up.
The last channel strip is for Jacari's rap. Actually, there are two. One is for the clean version, and one is for the explicit version. They have the exact same settings. Those settings are a UAD Manly, followed by a UAD 1176 Revision A. Then they each have three buses. The first channel strip is for an Isotope Nectar. The second channel strip is for a FabFilter Timeless. And the third one goes to a Logic Clip Distortion. All of these elements combine into a track stack that has no plugins on it. The rap vocal ends up sounding like this.
I get so high off of you, shooting up like some type of heroin addict. The way you touch me, the way you kiss me is the reason why that I'm so attracted. Your touch is magic, it's so damn tragic. I lost who I am cause your dirty tactics. We're touchy and Philly and we're so dramatic. I flip her in photo, call her acrobatic. When it comes to the loving and hugging and kissing, she puts my fantasies in existence.
That brings our coverage of the individual parts that make up touch to a close. In the next episode, we'll be taking an in-depth look at the complete mix and how it all came together with so many tracks involved. Inside the Recording Studio is produced by John Michael Kane, TJ Burke, and I. Frank Cadillac is the Production and Operations Manager. Alex Hitchens is our Editorial Advisor. Editing help comes from Harrison Knightley. Plugins and regions checking by TJ Burke. Special thanks for this episode goes to Apple for Logic, Telefunken for their awesome C12, Avalon for the 737 SP, GrooveTubes for the MD1A and the GrooveTubes Vipre, Isotope for Nectar, FabFilter for their various mixing plugins, Universal Audio for their Manly and 1176 plugins, plus the Apollo, plus the staff at Dance and Deer Studio and Utopia Parkway Studio. I must not forget George Leger for putting up with me while I was running around recording this song. Support for Inside the Recording Studio comes from Jody Whitesides, who asks you to stream the song Touch on Spotify, make a purchase of it on iTunes, or donate to the podcast. Subscribe to the RSS feed for Inside the Recording Studio. Inside the Recording Studio is a production of Dancing Deer Studio.